It's the official, unofficial podcast of the city of Trenton, New Jersey. Yeah. With your host, Frank Ferocious Sasso.
Trenton still makes and the world still takes.
And Christina Firestarter Sasso.
Trenton is Mayberry with attitude.
Hang tight, because we're going to meet the lifeblood behind the culture, food, arts, music, pork roll, punk rock, hair, butts,
education, talent, events,
of Trenton, New Jersey. Here's Frank and Christina.
Here we are yet again for another action-packed episode.
I'm hot.
I can't handle the heat.
I was just saying I hibernate in the summertime and I come out in the winter.
You only come out in the winter?
Well, in the fall. When the weather starts to cool.
Right. Light jacket.
Yeah. Right. Sweater. Oh, sweater. I love that.
I like the light jacket
days. A
little
scarf, maybe, for fashion.
For the Jacques Howards of the world say how much he wants to strangle you with it, or whatever his therapy says. I don't know what he's talking about. Anyway, so you were at the Ellerslie Museum.
Correct.
Recently.
Yes.
And you met somebody there.
Yes, I did.
What was that all about?
Well, I was at the Ellerslie in preparation for the Ellerslie Open, which was a huge success.
Yeah, I heard there were tons of people there.
And the show is still running, so you didn't miss it. It's running until October, so please go and see it. It's a juried show, and there's a lot of different art mediums. So please come on down and check it out.
So what happened when you were there?
So what happened when I was there, I was weeding. And
you were weeding?
Yes, I was
weeding. In this heat?
No, it wasn't that hot when I did that. And Ms. Jane Malloy, a fellow board member, came in with a gentleman. Immediately, I was intrigued.
Wait a minute. Are you talking about our guest?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you said gentleman. I wasn't sure if you meant our guest or not.
Yes. Oh, no that's problem. That's not nice.
I'm just keeping it real.
He's totally a gentleman. And found out he's a chef and he's local, Trenton.
Oh, local chef. All right.
So I said, oh, we got to have him on the show. You know, I love food and all things Trenton. So.
Well, I got to say one thing.
Yes.
He immediately caught my attention. Over 90 degrees outside. He comes in wearing a black long sleeve sweatshirt.
It's not really a sweatshirt.
I almost fell on the ground.
It's more like a long sleeve t-shirt.
I could not believe it.
But happily, I can say he's wearing his brand.
Well, of course he's wearing his brand.
Well, that doesn't always happen.
Well, you know, listen, people have businesses. If he was wearing a Nike sweatshirt, I would have said, dude, you get out of here.
Yes.
I would have.
And that's what caught my attention when we were chit-chatting. Right. Oh, the brand. And yes.
So, Hood Chef. Hood I chef. Love the name.
Yes.
Because it's too. Like a neighborhood chef. And also hood could imply a range. And
also could imply an urban thing.
What do you mean?
Like the hood, you know.
Well, the neighborhood. Well, I said that.
Yeah. Okay.
That's all I got, those two things.
Oh, wow. Okay. Anything else? That's it?
You fry an egg under my hood of my car? Maybe that's another hood
I don't
chef.
Know. You're going nowhere with this.
I only cook for mechanics. Okay. Well, we have on our show today, Podcastia, the one and only Hood Chef is here with us today. Hello, Hood Chef.
How y'all doing? How y'all doing?
Doing good, man. Oh, you're a pretty formidable looking character.
How y'all feeling today? Thanks for having me on as well. Appreciate it.
Oh, no, you're very welcome.
You're
well,
welcome.
When she said chef, I'm thinking this guy's going to bring food. No, he brings himself
a banana.
A banana and a ginger drink, and we get nothing. Nothing.
From health is wealth.
Right, exactly. From plug. Health is wealth.
Plug for you guys over there.
Yeah, great guys over there.
I know. Well. We love them. We met at the Ellerslie because you were taking a tour. And yes. Why were you taking a tour of the Ellerslie?
Well, I had met Miss Jane at Vegan Barbecue, another plug.
Vegan Barbecue?
Vegan Barbecue, yeah. It's like a new spot just opened up like two doors down from Health as Well.
Really?
Really? Yeah.
Are they open now?
Yeah.
Oh, we're going there after
10
this.
To 6, yeah.
Oh, we're totally going there now.
We're going there after this. No, listen, Hushef, no offense, but we got to get through this interview quick.
Well, I met her in there, and I was posting a poster for an event that I'm having, and I spoke to her and she was telling me that she's on the board with the museum, and I've never been inside of the Trenton Museum. Mm-hmm. As many times I've been in the park, done events in the park, I've never been inside. Mm. So she was like, yeah, when are you available? I'm like, man, we can go now.
And she was
like, let's go.
And I like this guy.
Love
I like
that.
The way he thinks.
And the museum is beautiful.
Isn't it?
Like, you really don't even realize that you're in a museum in Trenton.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in the park anyway, because, you know, the State Museum downtown
has
things also. But I was like, wow, I've never realized that this was here. This is like a jewel that more people need to know about.
Wow.
I agree.
Singing my wife's song.
Well, me and Jane are on the same wavelength with that whole thing, because a lot of the people who come to the museum are from Bucks County. Okay. So they're not even living in New Jersey, let alone the city of Trenton. And so many people don't realize that the museum is there and open to the public. I don't know what they think it is, like maybe a private house or I don't know.
I don't know. I know. I'm younger. I'm 30. Mm-hmm. I know I used to hear about a lot of stuff that used to go on in the park, the animals, mm-hmm. the different houses, right. and different events. But by the time I was even old enough to go to the park, like everything was gone. Like they had like deer and
right,
stuff
right.
inside
the
gate.
Monkey house and all that stuff.
Right. All
yes.
of that stuff mm-hmm. was gone. They said mm-hmm. they used to have a bear, like mm-hmm. tigers. So I missed out on that stuff.
But yeah, it does tigers? Have... It was kind of like a zoo, I
Wasn't
think.
Wasn't it? I just thought it was just monkeys. I don't know.
People say the monkey house, but
the, yeah, they said yes. they had bears down mm-hmm. and inside the. It was a cage that was down.
Yeah, like a bear cage. Into,
like they had different animals.
Not very like ethical, right?
Maybe
in
not
today's
tigers.
Standards.
I might be. Let me retract the tiger statement.
But that was another story.
We can't retract anything.
Jane and I are on that wavelength where we really want the people of Trenton, because I have met so many people that say the same thing you just said. Mm. I didn't even know this place existed. Yeah. Like, you know, the park is there, but you didn't know that that building was.
I think it's like a haunted house or some abandoned yeah. property.
When I was working out there that day when I met you, there was a little family walking by and I was just involved in what I was doing. But I saw them keep looking over and I thought, do they think like I live here? I was wondering if they thought, oh, that's her house. I'm like, if I wasn't so like tired and just like drained, I would have ran over there and said, come on in. But the museum wasn't really open for business because right. we
so
were setting up.
So there's a little
up.
Family out there right now thinking you own that house.
Next time I will go out there. But anyway, before we get too far into this, I want to ask you one question that I ask all our guests. What in your journey of life has brought you to Trenton, New Jersey?
Well, I'm from here, born and raised.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm born and raised in Trenton, New Jersey. I love the city, regardless of what's going on. Mm-hmm. I still believe that there is going to be a point where it changes and shifts, well, along with gentrification. But I think it's going to shift because everybody talks about the violence in inner cities, but that's every inner city.
Right.
So mm-hmm. until we start to implement like more recreational activities for the children, and we start to put values back into the city to make the people actually value the city along with the people that are running the city. Mm-hmm. We have to coagulate in a healthy manner. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, everything will go to shambles.
Well, I agree with you. I think that whether you grow up born and raised in Trenton or you're transplanted like we are, you have a certain passion for the city. Mm-hmm. And you can see the gem that it is.
Right.
And I do agree. I do think that the residents have to realize that too. Sometimes they're their own worst enemy.
True,
you know, right?
I agree.
So I agree with you on that.
What was it that ignited the fire in you for cooking?
I just recently found out that my grandfather, my dad's dad, was a chef. I just found this out maybe like a month or two ago.
How long are you doing this?
I've been cooking since I was like 14. Like
really?
Just playing around in the kitchen just with my moms and aunts. And then my uncles began to show me how to cook. I had an uncle. He used to always cook. And I had an older cousin. He used to cook as well. So I used to cook with both of them. And that's how I got the name Hood Chef, actually. I was 14 years old. My aunt had a house and my cousins. It would be 10 of us. It would be 10 of us in the house. She would make us stay the night on the weekend because it was like, if you stay here Saturday, you got to go to church Sunday. So That was the deal. It was like, all right, y'all can stay up all night, but y'all got to go to church in the morning. So my uncle used to be the one that cooked. Like they used to cook like full blown dinners, like roasts, vegetables, mashed potatoes, like everything, the whole spread every Sunday.
Really?
So before church, she was like, well, if y'all want breakfast, y'all got to cook. So I'm like, oh, man.
She sounds like a very smart person.
I like this woman.
Yeah, she was like, she's actually my cousin, but she's all of the other boys' aunts.
Okay.
So they'd be like, all right, man, who going to cook? I'm like, look, you cut the potatoes up tonight, put them in some water, I'll cook in the morning. So we wake up, it's 9 a.m. I got 5 frying pans going.
Wow.
Like I got pork roll, eggs, potatoes.
Five pans. Usually like, Rangers have 4 burners.
They got the middle burner.
Oh, the middle burner.
Yeah. So I got the bacon frying in the middle. I got everything going. And my cousin used to keep a video camera when we were kids. Like we used to dance and all. He always kept a video camera.
Right.
So he comes in the kitchen and he's like, yeah, we got Hood in the kitchen. They used to call, they would call me Hood and they call my other cousin Hood. So he like, hey, what's your name? I'm like, it's Hood. Hood.
Oh, see?
Hood Chef. Like, and it was like Hood Chef. And we joking. So we all laughing. And the name just stuck.
Yeah, but you trademarked it. That was smart.
Yeah, like it just stuck. Of course, when I went to college and I started to learn like different cuisines, I started to change it to like VJ Creations mm-hmm. and stuff like that to be like more elegant. But I was like, nah, this ain't working.
So you went to school for cooking?
Yeah, after I graduated high school, I went to Mercy County Community at West Windsor campus.
Oh, okay.
For Culinary Arts.
Yes.
Good for you, man.
And that's when I really like learned. That actually like broadened my horizon on food, because the stuff we were learning, like from knife skills to like classical cuisine to food and culture, like everything, it just helped me out. And I'm eventually going to go back because I want to actually teach culinary arts to like kids one day.
There you go.
The name just stuck. I went back to Hood Chef because I was like, nah, I'm just sticking with what work.
Yeah, I like Hood Chef.
And then
Hood
Chef it just took off. Mm-hmm. Like Hood Chef. Now everybody, people don't even know my name. They're just like, hey, aren't you Hood Chef? Like, I saw you on Instagram or something like that.
Love it. No, that's fantastic.
Like, yeah, I love it.
What's your favorite cuisine to cook?
I'm pescatarian.
Oh, okay.
So I only eat fish and vegetables. I do a lot of veggies and fish, and I don't do dairy. So I'm always baking salmon, sea bass. Those are my favorites. Mm-hmm. I'm either baking sea bass, grilling salmon, baking salmon, making salmon cakes. I'm doing something with salmon. If I had guests coming over and like, hey, what are we eating? I'll throw some salmon in the oven, or I'll stuff some salmon.
Right.
And then I would do like some asparagus, maybe some different type of rice or something like that. Something easy, quick. And then we would just eat.
That sounds very good.
So you do catering right now?
Yeah, I do the private catering. I have different clients in like different cities or different states that I'll travel to.
Okay. What's the furthest you'll go?
I'll go wherever the customer's paying.
Really? You go to LA?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Really?
I have customers in Vegas, and we're talking now because they want me to come out there for about a week.
Nice.
So I'm just trying to like work schedules out. Mm-hmm. So when I go, I can also host a food event while I'm out there. So.
And you do this full time?
Yeah, I do this full time.
Good for you, man. I love that.
Yeah.
Any chances of opening up like a Hood Chef kitchen or a Hood Chef cafe or something in Trenton?
I thought about it. I wanted to open something up in Trenton. It's not enough foot traffic right now because of the pandemic. I looked at opening up a restaurant in the middle of the pandemic because I still had the clientele. Mm-hmm. And I like to cook like sit down food.
I do. So, I like that.
Dude, you should do it, dude.
Just I was looking
at nowhere downtown. Yeah,
I'm telling you, do it. Now's the time. Do it.
Yeah,
because we need. That's a need in the city, because we have Cooper's, which is a place where you can hear music, and but it's not super fancy. But you know, like they
it's
have
the ambiance,
right?
It's not
right,
there.
Right.
We got Cooper's is more easy.
Yeah. Which is all, they are great.
And they're fantastic. It's just not a sit down.
But you're not going to go on a date there.
Like,
it's not a date night place.
One of my favorite spots to go to is like a Seasons 52. Because when you walk in.
Okay, that's a chain, yes.
And they're also farm to table.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And they don't have a lot of change. Nah, they only cook what's in season.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah, but the ambiance is like when you walk in, it's warm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's nice lighting. You can either sit at the bar. I'll go in there either in a sweatsuit or I'll go in a suit.
Right, right. It's that.
Because the setting is just
It's
relaxed.
Casual, but it could be nice,
yeah,
dressy
exactly.
too.
Dude, do Hood Chef Kitchen. I'm telling you, do it. Just do it. Just do it.
Yeah, find a location. Really? I'm sure there's programs that the Downtown Association run that could help you find a spot and help you maybe find a grant or funding to get something going somewhere.
I'm putting it out there right now to podcast here. He needs to open up a Hood Chef kitchen. I'm not even kidding. It's a need. It's a want.
Yeah, it's definitely a want.
Absolutely. People will be able to afford it. And it's a draw. Come on. That's a home run. I'm telling you, it's a home run.
Yeah.
And people are wanting to be out now. Like people are.
Like, right. They want to come outside. Like, I just bought a. I'm about to post this publicly. I just bought a food truck.
Ooh, really?
I actually didn't tell anybody. So now the world knows.
Wow.
Well, at least they won't know. They won't know this week. But
yeah, they won't know. No one listens to
you. You still have a chance to get it out there.
I just bought it, but it's still in the works. Like, I'm about to wrap it. I'm about to finish cleaning it out and like inspections and stuff like that.
Okay,
that's
cool.
Fantastic. So, where would you go with it?
I want to travel with it personally. I'm going to, of course, like do a grand opening at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to go city to city.
You want
to
be like the movie Chef.
Yeah, that was like one of my favorite movies.
Yes.
Dude, great movie.
Drive from here to Vegas and then drive back or something.
Just,
like that.
Just try that.
Just feeding people along.
And then when
the
you're done, come back and open up a Hood Chef kitchen in Trenton.
Right. That's the goal. I was looking at a spot right here, Front Street. I think it's 13. It used to be a cafe at one point. It's like a gentleman's bar now.
Yeah, this is
still available?
Nah, somebody has it now.
Oh, Lucky's.
But there's
Lucky's
still,
has it
now. They just opened.
Ah, darn it.
Still,
you see Hood Chef?
I was talking to the lady for like 6 months about it.
Listen, Hood Chef, stop sitting on your hands.
I guess she's the owner of the building or something.
Oh, okay. Because you should contact Patricia Hall, the TDA, the Downtown Association. Because she could definitely hook you up with the right people. And she would definitely love to help you out. I know she would. Because I've had conversations with her. But anyway.
And I got no problem with Lucky's. But it says something. It says, oh, someone scooped it up.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
And you know, there's another place downtown, just to encourage you, that was purchased. I don't know if you know the Momo Group, which is in Princeton.
You're talking about the old Maxine's?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard about that last year.
Yeah, they did buy it and they got their liquor license. And then the pandemic happened, so that's why nothing's been happening right, with
that
it.
That place is so huge and so it is. Old-fashioned.
Yeah, but if anybody knows but how to make that work, it's them.
But let them handle that. But I'm just saying that to encourage you that there is businesses.
Oh, yeah, I heard about them because mm-hmm. that place is beautiful.
Yeah, it is a beautiful.
Like the setup, everything, like the upstairs sitting area, the floor, like everything about that place is beautiful. You just have to have the right marketing skills.
Right.
That's the thing.
You have to have the interest to make people want to come. Like you need a live band.
Yes.
Like Thursday through Sunday.
Yes.
Something like jazz night to bring people from outside in.
Right.
I totally agree. All I'm saying is for the Momo Group to buy that place, these people are not idiots.
Right.
Like they know exactly how to make something work.
They've made a number of places work. But yeah. I agree with you because in the past, the problem is, again, it's such a big space. You need to fill that space. So that means that you have to know you're going to have that many people coming in often enough to make it work. And you need server. That was the problem. Yeah. We went there. It was wonderful. They had a band playing, da, da, da. And they had like one server. There were too many people. So we were just sitting at a table waiting to be served. And after a while, people just say,
I'm leaving. Right.
You know, so that was an issue.
There is another spot down there. Is it Cafe Ole?
Cafe Ole, yeah.
Yes, yes.
Copacetic.
I don't know what's going on with it. Like, it's been closed for so long.
Copacetic is supposed to be a coffee shop.
Well, I believe Youssef, the poet,
bought
it and was going to turn it into a coffee house. He got the sign and he had the permits, but then I think he was taken ill and then it kind of just sat. So I don't know where that's at right now because I don't know if he's even going to do it. So that might be a place.
Hey, I got a gourmet banana.
What makes it gourmet? What makes bananas organic? Aren't they already organic?
Well, the organic ones go bad a lot faster than the modified ones. So organic banana may go bad within like 3 to 4 days after it ripens.
Yeah.
But one that's like at a grocery store will sit for like a week or longer.
Mm.
Like you ever see the green ones like hard? Really hard?
Yeah.
They'll last for like 2 weeks. But they say you're supposed to eat it when it's like firm.
Really?
I like it like that.
Yeah, it's like as soon as it leaves green, you're supposed to eat it. But personally, I don't want to crunch a banana.
Like, you don't want to crunch a banana?
Is that a gourmet banana or are you just messing with me?
No, I'm just joking.
Oh, damn it. That's a new form of banana now.
So you're thinking of doing something at the Ellerslie maybe someday?
Well, that was how me and Miss Jane started to speak because she was like, hey, you can do it at the museum. And I'm like, I already booked the location, but the next one, like, I'll definitely look into it because I like spoken word. I like poetry. You know the movie Love Jones?
No, Love Jones. I never heard of that.
Nia Long and Lorenz Tate. It came out in like the 90s, early 90s, I believe. But it's like a poetry-based movie.
Love Jones.
Yeah, it's like one of my favorite movies.
So is the story told in that vibe?
Well, it's them two, they meet. He's like a Renaissance type of guy.
Right.
So he's a writer. He likes like jazz. And his friends, they have this jazz bar they're always at.
Okay.
And it's like a jazz lounge. And that's the vibe that I like. But I can't find any around here anywhere.
Candlelight? Have you ever been to Candlelight?
Is it local?
Yeah, it's on Passaic.
Candlelight Lounge?
Oh, the Candlelight. Yeah.
Yes.
But I've never seen anybody do spoken word in there.
No, I haven't seen spoken word.
Starbucks.
There. Well, they did it in Starbucks pre-crazy.
I know the Ellerslie did it a couple of times.
They do it on, right. No, they do, the Ellerslie does spoken word on Friday. Like, not every Friday. They do it, I believe it's on first Fridays.
Trent House,
I think that's what she was telling me about.
Yeah.
The Trent House does spoken word?
Yeah, that's right. Don't look at me like that. The Trent House.
Do you know where the Trent House is?
Is that downtown, right?
The Trent House. It's William Trent, named Trenton.
Yeah, that's the one where they used to show like the old movies. Is that one?
Really?
It's the one that's across the Justice Complex. The one that's kind of sitting by itself behind the brick wall. on Market and right on off of 29.
Is that the place they used to buy Mill Hill Park?
No.
Used to show like old movies in there?
No. It's down by the water. It's down by the 29.
Been. I love this guy.
Never been.
See, and that's another issue.
I love the Trent Hood House. Chef. I'm going to tell you right now. He's one of my new favorite people. Do you know who William Trent is?
I've heard of him, but I've heard of him.
I've heard of him.
I've heard of him like years ago.
He's an old dude from... He wasn't a great guy. He wasn't a good guy.
Well...
I mean, you know.
You say that about some people now.
I'm just saying, you know, he was one of the settlers here. He bought that house from Mayon Stacy, right? Am I getting this right? Malone Stacy.
Right.
And he was a wealthy landowner, blah, 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 blah. And then he named the town after himself.
Yeah.
I'll call this place, I know, my name.
Trentstown.
Trentstown.
He's a humble guy.
Me, very humble.
But the Trent House is so much of a—it's a different kind of
place
now.
It's a beautiful place.
It's very beautiful.
Yes. That would be another good venue because
that's why I'm bringing it up.
A big outdoor space, and they actually have a garden.
Yeah.
With veggies that they plant, like old school veggies.
Yeah.
So
you can use some of that in your menu.
Yeah. They have carrots and parsnips, and
I'll hook you up with some of the people over there.
Yeah.
We talked to them. I think that, and you could say, "Hey, Frank's house is. I'm going to call you guys."
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They'd definitely be interested.
Yeah.
Anyway. Sounds great.
Hey, let's get into something real quick.
Okay.
What you watching? What you watching?
What are you watching?
Okay, so here's what I'm watching. I'm watching something on Netflix called Manifest, and I love it. No, Manifest is a cool... Have you seen Manifest?
No, I don't even watch TV.
Oh, so we'll get to you in a second. Hang on a minute. Manifest. I highly recommend it.
I just started and finished watching Intruder.
Intruder? Was it one episode?
No. I just binge watched it.
How many episodes?
I think it was six.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is it Britain?
Of course.
It's British. Of course.
I don't watch anything American.
Six shows is like one season.
I only watch American stuff when you want to watch something. Oh. Everything I watch
thank you for enduring
British
that.
Or Australian or New Zealand or maybe, you know, French.
Gotcha.
Or...
Hood Chef, what are you watching?
Food Network.
Oh,
okay.
Yesterday morning.
So you do watch stuff.
No, that was just this weekend because I had my daughter and my nieces with me at a hotel, and while they were asleep, I was...
So you're watching Food Network. What on Food Network were you watching?
I was watching them make bagels on the grill.
Grilled
you mean
bagel.
From scratch?
From scratch. Yeah.
Really?
They didn't boil them.
They boiled them, yeah, but he did everything on the grill. So like he had the pot on the grill boiling the water.
Oh, wow.
He had the pan on the grill where he baked them. And I was like, wow.
And who was this person?
Adam. His name is Adam.
Adam.
He's a chef. Bald, eyebrows. He used to be on a...
Sounds like me.
Was it... Not the Chew. Was it the Chew?
I know the guy you mean. I don't know his name, though. I know who you mean. I can picture his face. Yeah.
White guy, black guy?
White guy. Adam, yeah. Chef. He's actually like one of the master chefs.
Is he really?
Yeah. I always mess his last name up, though.
Is he one of your favorites?
He is. Like, I actually like his cooking style.
You do?
I watch a lot of them because I just learn different items and different pieces from all of them. Like, Bobby Flay is probably one of my favorites.
Bobby Flay, come on.
Yeah,
Bobby Flay is one of my favorites.
He's a Jersey boy, too, isn't he? He got trained in Jersey.
Jersey.
Yeah.
So. What's that other dude? Mario Batali.
Yeah,
he's from Jersey?
I don't know. I know he owned the first restaurant he owned was, it wasn't Poe.
It wasn't Poe?
No, I think there was one in the village that he owned.
Park?
No, not Park.
I'm trying to keep up. I'm just trying to keep up. I got Hood Chef here. I'm trying to impress him.
Oh,
and
so.
It's going nowhere.
Okay, so you like Bobby Flay. Who else?
Emeril.
Emeril's entertaining.
He was one of those first entertaining chefs like that started that whole genre of that.
He's really big.
Yeah.
Like when it comes to spices, but he did market. He marketed himself. Greatly.
Yes.
Especially with the BAM and
the
marketing, like
his restaurants or
the essence,
his
like
name.
The Emeril, like Lagasse.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have like a thing, like you say, like a hook? Like when you're done with the meal, do you go hood?
But I was messing with people like
welcome to the hood, you know, something like
during,
that.
During the pandemic. Everybody was like, oh, man, Corona. I'm like, listen, the cure is in the sauce, man. Just get a wrap.
Ooh, the cure is in the sauce.
I like the cure is in the sauce.
There you go. There's your tag right
Come
there.
Come on. So that's your line.
Yeah, because
that could
apply. Like, wraps. Right, because mm-hmm. I used to do wraps on the grill all the time, and I was out like Thursday to Sunday.
What does that mean, wraps on the grill?
Like grill wraps, like grilled chicken wraps.
Oh, wraps. Oh. With a W. Yeah. You were thinking exactly what I was thinking. I'm like, what is he talking about?
He's at the grill going.
He's standing on a hot grill, and he's getting a wrap out.
And I'm like, oh my God, that's so entertaining.
It's like an endurance test, right?
So that was it. I would do chicken wraps, salmon wraps, like turkey burgers.
You should be rapping while you're doing that.
Wraps. I would have music playing, but I wouldn't.
You're making me very hungry right
now. I'm so. Look at this on my screen. This is what I'm looking at.
It wouldn't be me. But I make my sauces from scratch.
Ooh.
So it would be. It's like a vegan based sauce because it's all vegetables,
mm-hmm. right?
All fruits and different stuff like
that. What's one of your favorite sauces that you make?
I do like a mango Thai sauce.
Mango Thai?
It's like fresh mangoes.
That's like our favorite fruit.
Yeah, I'm a mango freak, man. I love mangoes. Mm-hmm. And another one, like the middle one is like a jalapeno. Mm. So it's like jalapeno and habanero.
You're a spicy.
You like spicy, like a little heat.
Well, personally, I don't like spice.
Thank you. Me neither. I hate it.
I'm not a spice. I like honey barbecue. Mm-hmm. I like anything with honey, just about.
Okay.
I'm not really a heat guy, but I have customers that love it.
Yeah, there you go.
So mm-hmm. I have one for like a mild version, then I have the heat. Mm-hmm. Then I have one that's like extreme heat. It's like dragon tears.
I know you went to culinary school. When you first kind of left to seek out your way, did you start with your own business or did you start working for someone else?
For culinary arts, I would cook with like my cousin. He used to do catering events.
Oh, okay.
So I would help him out. And that's when I was like 16, 17. Mm-hmm. I was still in high school. So I used to just cook at home and just experiment myself. Mm-hmm. And then my uncle used to cook and I think I was 17, 16 or 17. And I would always be at my aunt's house cooking and asking him questions about food.
Mm-hmm.
And he would be like, man, just stop playing around. Like, you know what you're doing. Stop playing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
So I was like, yeah. And I would ask, he's like, listen, man, you got everything except age.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, you got the ambition, you got the work ethic, like you got the skill set, you got the thoughts, like you ask questions, just go.
Mm-hmm.
Like just stop playing. And then my chef, once I graduated and went to college, I had a chef, Chris DePagne, and he was our food and culture chef. And like short, I think he might have been like Irish, orange hair,
mm-hmm.
cool guy. And he's like, listen, man. You're the boss with the sauce.
Oh,
like
there's another great line.
Tag, the boss with the sauce.
He used to always tell me that because I used to always ask questions because there was certain things I didn't eat.
Mm-hmm.
Like back in college, I didn't eat fish.
And now you're a pescatarian.
And now I'm pescatarian because I got sick once when I was like 14
okay,
and I never touched it again.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's a rule with me. Like that's another thing, a rule. If it make my stomach hurt, mess my stomach up one time, I never eat it again.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's it. Only one shot you get.
Yeah, that's it. It's over. So he would always say that, like, you're the boss with the sauce. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, hey, chef, come try this. Like, how's this? How's this working? How does this look? How does this taste? And he's like, man, you know what you're doing.
Mm.
Like, just stop playing. Just go do it. You're the boss with the sauce, man. You're the chef. Like, that's how he would talk.
Mm-hmm.
And I had another chef. He was Bill Meyer, Chef Bill. And he's been cooking since he probably was like one. Like
out of the womb just cooking.
Yeah, like his dad and mom owned like a restaurant. It was like a Villa Victorian type of house with the restaurant downstairs, apartments upstairs, up in Jersey. And that's all they used to do. He said they used to cook. Like every day they ran a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows this stuff like the back of his hand. And he's like, listen, chef, you're the guy. Like you're the guy. When it's brown, it's done. When it's black, you're done. So that's what and I learned a lot from him just based off like his attitude and his demeanor. And he's like, when you come into the kitchen, leave your ego at the door.
Mm.
And like, he tells everybody that, like, when you walk into this kitchen, you're all students.
Mm.
Like he'll be like, I'm still a student. Like I'm still learning. So keep your ego outside the classroom. And I would ask them too, but they knew I'd never really read all of the material.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be the type of guy to skim through it, read the recipes and come in the kitchen.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he's like, listen, he's like, chef. He used to always be like, yeah, you're a handsome guy, but listen, you can cook your behind off, man. Like, just do it. Like, you got it. And I'll just ask, because I ask so many questions when I'm in the kitchen because that's their field. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm still learning.
Sure.
So it's like, I'll never know it all. Like, people right. be like, oh, man, you're probably one of the best chefs I know. But I'm like, man, I know some chefs that have cooked me under the table, mm-hmm. like, easily.
Right.
So it's just, I'm just humble with it. Like, I enjoy it. I know I have confidence with it, but I'm learning. Like, I have so many chefs from college that I still connect with I have another chef. She has a Chef Rory. She has a restaurant up in Hopewell. It's called the Blue Bottle Cafe.
Oh, I know
Blue
it.
Bottle.
I know it.
Okay, mm-hmm. I heard about it from you then.
Mm-hmm.
On, okay. I believe, Nassau. It's up there on Nassau.
It's on that Main Street, I believe. Whatever that is, I don't know, but I can picture it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she has like, it's like a fine dining.
Mm-hmm.
And she's another one. Like, she's, I can text her anytime and ask any questions, and she'll call me and text me back like, hey, just come up to the restaurant.
Oh, like,
wow.
So
that's nice.
I'm still learning from all, but all of them still, and she was on Chopped.
Oh, really?
She was on Chopped.
Yeah. Oh, did you watch her on Chopped?
I used to watch Chopped like the news at one point.
Okay, so confidence, not arrogance. You ever watching Chopped or any of these other chef or food reality contest mm-hmm. shows, competitive shows? Do you ever have that thought, like, I could totally cook this guy out of the water?
I do sometimes when I be seeing certain stuff, because my brain goes when I see mm-hmm. certain food.
Yeah.
So I'll be like, dang, why you ain't do this?
Mm.
Or why mm-hmm. And then I'll see baskets and I'll be like, oh, man, what the heck is that?
Yeah. Yeah. Because like, you never know what's going to be in that basket.
I would totally watch him on one of them shows.
Like, oh, I would love that.
Somebody, mm-hmm. it was mm-hmm. a sea urchin in a basket mm-hmm. once.
I've had it. Have you ever had it?
Never had it.
How do you even prepare that?
I didn't like it.
Without bleeding.
I didn't like it.
You had to cut it. Like, yeah. you had to, like, cut it. Like, ugh. Cut the spikes yeah, and then chop it in half and the stuff is inside.
And you scoop it out.
Yeah.
I didn't like it.
I'm not interested. You like crab?
I'm allergic to shellfish.
Oh. Okay. Because honestly, crab, I think, is a lot of work with no payoff. It's a yeah, lot yeah. of work and you get nothing.
Well, it depends on the crab.
Bodies, I believe so. Like regular bodies, there's yeah. not much. It's like less than a handful of meat inside of it.
Yeah, yeah.
But me, people get like legs.
Yeah. yeah.
What is it? The king crab legs?
King crab.
Yeah, king crab, snow crab, stone crab.
But Alaskan, no.
The Dungeness, too.
Alaska, like, too. Dungeness.
But mm-hmm. Alaskan's the big ones?
I think so. The ones that are little are the blue crab. It's yeah, there's like, nothing. Right, there's hardly right. anything in there.
Unless you're getting like a soft shell and they're frying the whole thing and right. you're eating the entire thing.
There was a point I ordered that once at a restaurant and I got through half of it before I started looking at it and seeing
the stuff inside.
No, seeing that it's like,
like it has a personality.
It has a face right. and it has little eyes.
Like somebody's
and
dad. Like,
so that's when I started to slow down. I'm like, I don't want any more.
Yeah, just give me like some cheesecake and we'll call it a day. So you can't eat shrimp?
Nah, I developed the allergy maybe when I was like 15.
So what happens if you eat shellfish?
Like, if the last time I ate shrimp, like, my lips began to swell.
Don't mm-hmm. you remember the movie?
No, but I don't know if any of that is
Hitch?
Fake.
That is
not.
True. What Hitch?
With Hitch, yeah.
With Will Smith.
He's like,
yeah.
all
does
like,
that really happen? Is that a real thing?
That's a really bad allergy. Yeah, that can happen.
That could really happen. Yeah.
I don't
have
know
you ever
if
seen
to that,
that
extreme, yeah. Yeah. But,
well, but that's the idea.
Like, he's like, yeah. come on.
Like, yeah, that my, I ate a shrimp once.
Right.
I was like 19 because I'm like, man, I haven't eaten shrimp in over 6 years. Okay. Like, let me just try to see if I really have an allergy.
Sure. Right. Or in your head.
Like, or if it's just like my grandfather put clam sauce in his spaghetti when I was 14.
Right.
And I got like severely sick.
And you didn't know he did that?
And I didn't know it was inside until right. he told me it was like, oh, it was clam sauce or something. And I was like sick for like 2 days.
Wow.
So after that, I'm like, I'm never touching shellfish again.
Yeah. Well, what happened, in, you know, 6 years later? What happened then?
With the shrimp, yeah. I ate it and I'm like, all right, maybe it's not bad. And then I start feeling my lips like knots. Like,
just was it opposite evident?
And I'm like, and I felt it like a bit. I'm like, what's going on?
My
here?
Lips aren't working like, right.
And I'm like, try it now.
Oh,
I wish we had
man.
No, right
no.
now.
No, no.
That'd
like,
be great.
Wow. No. But I cook shrimp and crab like on a regular basis.
So you can touch it.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
just can't.
I cook it. I just can't eat it.
Dude, how is it though for a chef? That's like got to be like the ultimate frustration. You're cooking food. You can't even taste it.
Well, honestly, I don't taste half of the food I cook.
Really?
Maybe 85% I don't
that's
taste.
That's like a cardinal rule.
Nah, I mean, you taste the sauce like as you go. But honestly, most of the dishes that I make, I don't taste any of them.
See, I don't
he
know
can,
if I,
he
I,
could taste the sauce, but he can't eat the meat part.
I understand that.
See, but even
I don't
that,
know.
I still don't. Like, even mm-hmm. I eat salmon, I have to, like, really be hungry
mm-hmm.
to actually eat one of my dishes. Because it's just, like, not in me anymore. I don't
well,
know.
I don't mean eat it. I mean taste it.
Once in a blue, I'll taste
while
it.
While you're cooking.
But I do most of the dishes I do them over and over. Mm-hmm. Or multiple times. So
right,
it's
so
like
just kind
of I can go off the smell.
Right.
Like it smells done.
Yeah.
So I know it's done. And not, I, a thermometer is with me at all times.
But not only is this chef not fat, he's also built. I already don't trust him.
Are you working out? Like, do you work
I
out?
I just got back in the gym like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, okay. He looks it. This cat is ripped. I can tell you like Hood Chef Kitchen.
But right. I have a strict diet, though. Like I said, I only eat fish. Like, I don't eat a lot of fried foods. Mm-hmm. Maybe French fries or some fried fish.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I do a lot of vegetarian stuff. Like, maybe like a week or two every month, I only eat vegetables.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
So,
yeah.
I have a... My body is, like, very important to me. And my stomach was really funny growing up. So, like, I'm not big on sweets. Like, I don't do a bunch of juices and sodas. And,
okay.
Right.
Because it would, like, mess my stomach up.
Sure, sure.
So, I'm like, all right. I got that stuff out of the way. So, mm-hmm. once in the blue, I might do, like, a cake or
all right.
something.
It would have to be worth it. Like, it'd have to be really good.
I got to have a taste for it. Even ice cream.
Yeah.
Eating, like, vegan ice cream now.
Yeah.
Oh, right, because you don't do dairy.
Yeah.
Because you don't do dairy.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Yep.
Well, Hood Chef, would you like to join us for a little something we call plugs?
Plugs, sure. Trenton Wade's
Plugs. Hey, Podcastia, let's see what this guest has to plug.
Trenton Waves, TrentonWaves.com. Visit us at TrentonWaves.com. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
And all social media platforms that we are on. What do you got?
The Ellerslie Open, which is running until October. Look forward to an event coming up in October at the Ellerslie, the pet membership event. Now, you might say, what?
Wait, what do you mean? My dog can be a member of the Ellerslie?
Your dog, your cat, your parrot, your iguana?
I would love my parrot to be a member of the
museum. Wait a minute. Hold on, wait, what?
Excuse me, Hood Chef. We're in the middle of a plug.
Yes, the pet membership event is not just a membership drive, but it is a all-day event to engage the community of Trenton residents to come out, bring their pets, bring their kids. There's going to be face painting, doggy art, and kitten art. And
they're going to walk through paint on canvas or something?
That we're thinking we're going to try some crazy stuff.
And the reason that the Ellerslie is doing this is so that people don't just think that it's a place where bears and tigers used to live.
That's right.
Or it's your house, right?
Or that was my house. Exactly. Although I could definitely live there. With but anyway.
Bears and pet tigers for memberships of the Ellerslie.
And there's going to be a lot of fun events. And as we get closer, you know, things will be clearer. We're teaming up with Trenton Animals Rock. Hopefully have some pet adoptions or sign up to volunteer at Trenton Animals Rock.
Joan Perks, the president of the board, will be on the show soon talking about that in a lot more detail with
just
Danielle.
Just another word about Trenton Animals Rock, mm-hmm. that they are doing awesome work. They always need volunteers. They always need donations. They are now a no-kill shelter, which thank you, Lord, for that, because a lot of dogs and cats and animals are being put to sleep for not really good reasons. And now they're being fostered and they're finding really good homes for them. And they go from these little sad animals to these happy animals with big smiles. So they're doing great work over there. So shout to those guys.
Yes. And if you've never seen an animal smile, then you should go over there. You'll see them smile.
There's pictures online. You could see
of
it.
The dogs and cats actually smiling.
Smiling. And you see their temperament change when they're going home with a family.
Okay.
So anyway,
all right.
That's my plugs.
Hood Chef, what do you got going on?
Well, my plug would be this guy I met, right? About 10 years ago. His name is Hood Chef, right? Nah, it's Hood Chef Kitchen, LLC. You can check me out on social media platforms. Facebook is Hood Chef on the Rise. Instagram is Hood Chef _on the rise. I'm doing private catering, travel, chef, meal preps. I'm also starting some culinary classes, like private classes for people that want to learn different dishes. Had a couple of people ask about children. Yes, I'll teach your children how to cook as well. So that's about it for me.
Dude, how about a masterclass? Do a masterclass online.
Yes, I'm working on that next. I'm working on a location. Once I find a location where I can record like the way I want with the right setup,
okay.
I'm going to do that because I'm going to start. I have a grill. So I'm going to start doing stuff on the grill outside.
Yeah. Grill bagels.
Just recording. Exactly. Like a lot of people, you'd be surprised. They don't know how to make stuff like salmon. A lot of people can't make salmon or rice.
Rice?
Like, man, you'd be surprised.
What you need is water.
Right.
Really?
I have people that's like, you know what? I just can't make rice.
But what are they using? Orange juice? I mean, what are they using?
And I'm like, The directions are on the back of the box.
I think it's two directions.
Yeah.
Open box.
Open box.
Boil water.
Boil rice.
Measure. Well, maybe people like me, they don't follow directions. And that's where they get messed up. I just followed you on Instagram, just so you know. I like what you have here. It says food whisperer.
Oh, I like that. He's the food whisperer. That's another great tag.
I like that. Oh, yeah. Look at this food. I'm looking at the pictures.
Your final question, my dear.
Yes, my final question is, in your imaginings, what does your dream Trenton look like?
How many minutes do we have?
how many people say that, too?
I know. I know.
I like the way it was when I was a child. You know, when you're a child, they say don't leave the street and you end up across town on your bike with 30 friends. You know, and at the time, there was no cell phones, mm-hmm. but your parents knew because somebody else's parents saw you.
Right.
And they caught, I saw your son on in Coosa Park. He's supposed to be on Chamber Street. Like, right. You know, but it was still like a united, safe front. Mm-hmm. So personally, I just wish like that would return. I don't know if the value has to shift. I don't know if people have to like just begin to value one another and value themselves. But I would like that because our children are in the city. The neighbors don't even know each other. Mm-hmm. Like my entire street knew me, my mom, my brothers, like they knew everybody, even the next street over. Mm-hmm. So I think like a united front, mm-hmm. or like a united value amongst the city, the people, like the city needs to feel like a family again.
Right.
Because if we all begin to feel like a family, like the violence is violence.
Right.
When I was young, they had fights, they had violence, but it wasn't to the point is that that's the only thing they spoke on. It was a lot more unity. It was a lot more love in the city. It was a lot more events. Like there was always something, Heritage Days, Unity Days, May Day, like everything had something going on. They used to block off downtown and there was like carnivals all over. So they just need to bring something back that makes people actually think the city is the capital.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because you would never think that Trenton was the capital. If you didn't know, you would think Princeton was. I think that's it. They just have to, it's a chain of command also. So rather it comes from the governor to the mayor to the council down to the, you know, just the citizen, something has to shift and not just gentrification because that's on its way. Mm. But I don't think that's going to help the city. It'll hurt the city more than it'll help it.
I agree.
So the powers that be that run the city, maybe they need to put their egos at the door.
I agree.
And realize that there's a bigger mission for the city, or if they can't handle it, they need to leave.
I like that.
Sing a nice song.
Some younger, more, you know, vibrant people with better ideas and the energy, mm-hmm. you know, and passion along.
I agree.
So need to come in because there's a lot of people in the city that want to see the city look like a city again. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of people in the way that are blocking that. So what I would imagine, it would just be unity to where like everybody's children in the city just looks better. And it's like a basically, like I said, like a family united front. Mm-hmm. Because that's what we need.
I agree.
I like
what
that.
What do you think of that?
I think that's fantastic. I totally mm-hmm. agree. Mm-hmm. Totally agree.
Vote all right. Hood Chef for mayor. I'm joking.
Hood Chef for mayor.
Let's go. Hood Chef for mayor. At the very least, yeah. The worst of it is you can't have any shellfish. Oh, well. I'll sacrifice a couple of shrimp for the betterment of Trenton.
Hey, I'll still cook it, all right?
He'll cook it. He's just
eat. No mayor on the weekends. That's when I'm chefing.
I like that. I still cook it, all right? No mayor on the weekends when I'm chefing. Okay, podcast here. This has been yet another episode of Trenton Waves.
Sasso's out.
You've been listening to the Trenton Waves podcast. Visit us online at TrentonWaves.com.